Welcome to How Do You Feel, the show that's dedicated to your health and wellness and is sponsored by the Peoria City County Health Department. I am your host, Lorraine King, and today I am visiting with Rachel Ogden, and she is a disease specialist in epidemiology and clinical services at the Peoria City County Health Department. Welcome, Rachel.
Hi, Lorraine. Thank you for having me.
It's been a while since she's been here, so I don't remember her because I'm old. But, but she's okay. Been here before. But Rachel is here to talk about influenza and COVID vaccinations. And this is the season, I guess.
It is.
Okay. So first of all, let's start off by, you said, what's the flu? But it's like, really, what is influenza? And yes. How did it get to be abbreviated to the flu?
The flu. So influenza, or the flu, is influenza virus, which causes flu illness. It's typically caused by influenza virus type A or type B, and it's a respiratory disease that'll cause things like fever, cough, chills, muscle aches, sore throat, kind of the typical symptoms you'd think of when you think of the flu.
Okay, now you said type A and type B. What's the difference?
I don't know the science behind what the difference is. There are different strains of influenza virus. There are different types of the same like group of viruses, I guess would be the best way to say
kind of like COVID when it had all those different
variants. The different strains. Yeah.
Now, does a person need to know that there's different strains, or people just need to know if there's the flu is coming? It's flu season.
Yes. You don't necessarily need to know that there's different strains, because both strains can cause influenza, the flu. The important thing to know is they kind of cause the same types of symptoms. So, the important thing to know is what symptoms to look out for when we're in flu season, which is starting up now.
I know you said a few things, but how can you tell the difference between influenza and a bad cold?
So they are going to be a little similar, but usually you can differentiate by the types of symptoms that you have. So flu is going to be more like the fever, body aches, muscle aches, chills, that kind of thing. Colds are usually more the symptoms you think of, like in your face, like runny nose, coughing, sneezing, that sort of thing.
Okay. Yep. And so you said chills, but no fever with the flu?
Oh, you can have fever with the flu.
You can have fever and chills.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
All right. And then, you know how during COVID, we had to wear a mask and watch what we touched and wash our hands. So how does flu spread?
Flu is spread by droplet contamination. So
the same way?
Pretty much the same way, yeah. So someone who has the flu, they cough, they sneeze, they talk around you. And if you're there and that, any of those droplets, land on you or your mouth or your nose, or you inhale them, then you can get the flu also. And sometimes it can be on surfaces. So someone sneezes on a desk and doesn't wipe it off, and then you touch that desk and, touch your face or eyes, mouth, nose without washing your hands, then that's one way you could get the flu also. Although that's not as common as just, FaceTime with somebody who actually has the flu.
So you and I were just talking about me cleaning the carts at Walmart. So you can touch a cart that somebody sneezed on and touched and get it that way too.
Right? You could. It's not as common as just interacting with someone who has it, but that is one way you could get it as well.
Okay. And then if somebody gets the flu, then what treatments are recommended for the flu?
Yes. So most people will recover on their own from the flu.
Without doing anything?
Yeah, without doing anything. You can treat the symptoms with over-the-counter medications like Tylenol, which is a fever reducer, but also helps with some of those other symptoms like the muscle aches and chills. Typically you don't need actual treatment for the flu because it will just resolve on its own. If you have more severe illness or you're hospitalized, something like that, you may get antiviral medications for the flu, which do help to treat it. But that's not something that everyone gets when they get the flu.
But if you have other things going on, it could make that session of the flu worse than it would be normally?
Yeah, so people who have underlying health conditions are typically more susceptible to severe illness. Underlying health conditions like asthma or heart disease, diabetes, those kinds of things. And then also you're just at greater risk if you're 65 or older or like young children.
Okay. I'm at great risk then. Okay. And also, when was the flu vaccine developed so that people would, you know, you could recommend they get a flu vaccination?
Like, historically speaking, when was it developed? I don't know the answer to that, honestly. I know it's been around for a while, but I don't know specifically what year it was developed.
But it seems like lately, you know, well, I guess not lately, but in the last couple decades, you know, it's been recommended you get a flu vaccine. Mm-hmm. And I know I've heard people say, oh, I got the flu shot and I still got the flu. So can you explain that to the listeners, please?
Sure. Yeah. So the flu vaccine is not going to give you the flu. Typically, if you have any reaction at all to the vaccine, it might be something like soreness or redness in your arm where you got the shot. Some people have a little bit bigger reaction with like slight fever, slight muscle aches for like a day or so. But if those symptoms get worse or you're actually diagnosed with the flu in the immediate time after getting the flu shot, you were probably already exposed to the flu and the flu shot just hadn't taken full effect yet.
Okay, because I was going to ask you about that because, you know, when we were getting the COVID vaccinations, they always told us that it would take at least 2 weeks for it to take effect.
Yep.
So is that the same with the flu?
It's the same time frame for the flu vaccine as well.
So like 2 weeks is like the magic number?
Yeah. Once you've had it and it's been 2 weeks, then you would be considered fully protected. That's like the maximum level of protection you're going to have at that point.
Okay.
Yep.
So the other question I want to know is, we know that every season, I mean, people can't get the same shot they got this year, they got last year. It changes.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do you know when to change it and what to change it to?
So they change it based on what is circulating. And I think from my understanding, the way that that happens is that it's circulating in different parts of the world at different times. So as that changes throughout the year, they kind of look at what's circulating in other parts of the world during sort of the downtime of our flu season. So like in the summer, what's circulating in places where it's the winter at that time, and they develop the vaccine based on that. So they're looking at, you know, what's going on in other parts of the world and what they think is going to be circulating during our flu season, which is the fall and winter.
So somebody's monitoring this activity all along and not just in the U.S., but globally.
Yes. Yeah. It gets monitored globally.
Okay. So that means that when the scientists are monitoring and they figure out what strand it is, then do you know how long it takes them to develop the vaccine to address that particular strain?
That I don't know off the top of my head, no.
Because I was wondering, they have to hurry up and work really fast.
Yeah.
Now, do you have any idea like how long it would take, like if it's happening in South America, how long would it take before it came to the U.S.?
I don't have like a specific timeline, but South America obviously has a different winter season than we do. So even if, you know, say someone goes to South America during the summer and they come back with the flu, because it's not our flu season, it's not fall or winter here at that time, you know, maybe a couple other people get it, but it's not going to be widely circulating at that point. So it, you know, it usually picks up more in the later fall, winter.
Now you're talking about that brings up another question. So if we're monitoring to see what strain is circulating in other parts of the world, then how would they know what vaccination to develop to when it comes to their part? Are they looking at what happened after us or what?
Yeah. So this is definitely not something I'm an expert on. This is just my general understanding of it. But
okay.
You know, I think there is some back and forth of, you know, collaboration in terms of research with people who are doing this work in all different parts of the world.
Okay. Because I found out, I don't know, a couple of years ago when I was talking to somebody from the health department about flu, they tell me that flu is really a year-round malady. Mm-hmm. It's not just fall and winter. It's just that's our peak season.
Yes.
But they tell me that it happens during the entire year.
It does, yeah. It's kind of like COVID also, how we've seen that there's been like peaks and ebbs in that. Flu's just the same. You can get it in the summer. It's just not as likely that you're going to get it in the summer because not as many other people have it mm-hmm. during the summer.
So it's in the U.S., even though it might be at peak season in another part of the world, it won't be in the peak season in the U.S.
Right.
And so when does the peak season start in the U.S.?
Peak season usually starts around late October. So pretty much right about now, we're really getting into the thick of flu season at this point. And it's usually lasts for a few months up until like March or so.
Really?
That we're in peak season. Yep.
So I got my flu shot in September, the early part of September.
Yeah, that's great.
I didn't want to wait. then somebody talked about the stomach flu. I mean, the flu is the flu, so what does it matter if in the stomach or not? What is that?
So there's a common misconception that what is called stomach flu, which is like vomiting or diarrheal illness, is caused by influenza, but it's not. Around this time of year, there are other types of illnesses that kind of pick up that may cause symptoms more like that, like vomiting or diarrhea. So I think it's just important to know that if you're having those kinds of symptoms, it is not the flu. You probably have something else and would want to consider, if those symptoms are bad enough, would want to consider a different route in terms of like what kind of
medicines
you're taking to like help it and see a medical provider to kind of see what you have actually going on.
Okay. So that means those who are listening, you can no longer use the term stomach flu because there is no stomach flu.
There is no such thing as stomach flu. It's just the flu.
Yeah. Okay. And it's respiratory.
Yep. Yeah. And if you're having a gastrointestinal illness, it's something else. It's not
okay.
the flu.
So you might want to check with your medical provider.
Yes.
Okay. And then if someone wants to get more information on influenza, a.k.a. flu, where's the best place to get that kind of information? Like, you know, the seasonal and the strains that are out, you know?
Yeah. So if you're looking for Peoria County specific information, we start putting out a weekly flu report right about this time of year. So we'll probably do one next week or the week after will be the first one. And that we usually post on our Facebook page, which is just Peoria City County Health Department on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And we also post that on our website, which is pcchd.org. If you're looking for more broad information on flu circulation, like in the state or even in the U.S., mm-hmm. you can always check the state health department website, which is Illinois Department of Public Health, or the CDC website, which is cdc.gov.
So does the health department get their information from CDC?
We do get some information from CDC, yes. But when we're looking at rates in our area specifically, we usually get that information from the hospitals and what their positivity rate is that they're seeing from all the flu tests that they're doing.
But then does CDC get the information? Like, who gets the information first from what's going around in the rest of the world, you know, when you're monitoring? Like, who gets that? And then how does that transfer get down to Peoria City County Health Department? Mm. Does it go to CDC first, or how does that work?
So in our flu report that we do, we have some reporting that's more on national trends and state trends, mm-hmm. and we do get that information from CDC because they also have their own surveillance and monitoring program, as well as the state. And then if we're looking at our local area, we're looking at positivity rates in terms of flu testing in Peoria County hospitals and other clinics and things like that.
Okay. But you know, at the beginning you said that you really don't have to get medical care if you have the flu, that the individual will get over it in a couple of weeks. So the likelihood is that most flu cases aren't even reported to the hospitals or physicians, right?
So they can report their positivity rates of testing that they're doing. So even though not everyone they're testing is testing positive, we still get that data so that we can formulate our report on what the seasonal activity is looking like for that week.
Okay. And so what age ranges should get a flu vaccination? Anybody get a shot?
Anyone 6 months and older is recommended to get a flu vaccine. But it is particularly important for those people that we talked about earlier, people with underlying health conditions, 65 and older, if you're pregnant, younger children who may be more susceptible also.
Yeah, and kids that are in schools, it's going to be around a lot of other kids.
Yeah, yep.
So, like, if it's a baby that's 6 or 7 months old, do they get the same dosage as an adult who's getting the flu shot?
I think they would get a smaller dose based on body weight. I think that's typically how they do that if you're under a certain age. But don't fact check me on that because I don't know that for sure.
Okay.
With the flu. But I know that's true of other types of vaccines.
And then also those other people who may have other health issues should probably not wait until October in the peak season. They should get it ahead of the season, right?
Yeah, get it as soon as you can. And since we're recording this on November 1st, I mean, when you're hearing this,
yes,
get it right away,
right,
if you can. It's really readily available right now. You can get it at a local pharmacy. You can get it at certain grocery stores, or you can always go through your primary medical provider to get it.
Now, is it free?
It's should be covered by your insurance.
And if you don't have insurance?
I don't know that it's free, but it shouldn't be too much money out of pocket.
So there's no place that you can say, oh, you can go here and get a flu shot for free if you don't have insurance. I know if you have insurance, but I think if you're on Medicare, Medicare covers that, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, I think most insurance companies will cover that, so you shouldn't have to pay.
So we got to work on a place where people can go and get a shot that they don't have insurance.
Yeah.
So that's going to be your next project. Okay, now, it seems like in a previous conversation, there's a choice, there's options with getting protection from the flu. Isn't there a spray you can get? Isn't there some kind of spray
versus
a vaccine?
Because
I know I don't
year.
Like needles.
Yeah.
And we talked about the spray, but isn't the spray limited to a certain age range or something like that?
Yes. And I don't know that that is the case this year. That may have just been last year's flu season that there was a nasal spray. I haven't seen any information this year on a nasal spray.
But there is a nasal spray for flu.
That has been the case in past years, yes.
Okay. And was that one going to children or?
I think so. I don't remember exactly. Honestly.
Okay. All right. So, for those listeners who may have just joined us, you're listening to WPNV, Peoria's Neighborhood Voice at 106.3 on your FM dial. And the show you're listening to is How Do You Feel? And it is sponsored by the Peoria City County Health Department. And I've been speaking with Rachel Ogden, who is a disease specialist in the Epidemiology and Clinical Services Department of the Health Department. And we've just finished discussing influenza or the flu, talking about symptoms, how it's spread, the treatment. And so she said this is November the 1st, so if you haven't gotten a shot, this is a time to get it because we're like heading into the peak season for the flu.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Now, then the other thing, we want to make a transition. So, you know, we should get the flu shot. Mm-hmm. But then during COVID, you know, we got COVID shot one, COVID shot two. Mm-hmm. Then we got COVID booster one and COVID booster two.
Yep.
And so now I understand there's been some updates and adjustments. And so now there's an update to the booster. And
yes.
Who should get that?
There is a new booster, yes, and it's the same general recommendations for the COVID booster as for the flu vaccine. Everyone should get it. I believe it's 6 months and older as well, and then you definitely want to get it if you're at higher risk of severe illness, and that's going to be the same groups that we've already talked about, so older people, people with underlying health conditions, and younger children as well.
So what is the new booster addressing that the old one didn't address?
The new booster, so the last year's booster was a bivalent vaccine, which meant that it addressed two different strains of COVID. This one is just monovalent, so it's one strain, and I believe it's targeting the Omicron variant and different daughter strains from the Omicron variant. So basically, they're kind of doing it, doing the COVID vaccine now like they do the flu vaccine, where they're trying to target what they think is going to be circulating in the upcoming months.
So is this still mutating and changing? We're getting different variations of COVID still?
As far as I know, yes. I don't know that it's mutating very quickly, but yeah, there are new strains every now and then, like we've seen before.
Now, remember when we got the booster shots, they were saying, okay, you need to get the booster shot if it's been like, I don't know if it was like more than 6 months since you had the shot. Mm-hmm. So is this the same thing?
I believe so, yes. I think this one that just came out, it's recommended for pretty much everyone. So, like, I got a booster shot last year. I'll mm-hmm. get this booster shot this year as well.
Okay, now tell me this. What if someone never got a COVID vaccination? Would they go for the first shot? Are they going to get the booster?
Yeah, you should get the initial, like, series of COVID vaccines first.
Oh, you need to get one and two first before this one.
Yeah, those may have been updated as well, but yeah, you definitely want to get that like baseline level of immunity. So, you know, the basic one and two COVID shots, and then you could get a booster.
Now, is COVID going to be like the flu where there's different strains every year and we're going to have to continually get the COVID vaccination just like we get the flu vaccination?
It's kind of looking like that. I don't want to say yes with certainty because we still don't know. We're still only, 3 years into this, but I think it is kind of looking like that's going to be the case. It's definitely becoming more of an endemic disease, which means it's always kind of around, and it'll pick up at certain times of the year, just like flu does. Like we talked about, flu, you can get it in the summer. Mm-hmm. It's just not as likely that you're going to get it okay. in the summer. And then it picks up in the fall and winter. So we're kind of starting to see that with COVID as well.
So is somebody monitoring COVID as it circulates around the globe? And then is every place around the globe experiencing the same type of variant? Or does it vary from continent to continent?
I'm sure it varies to some degree. And I know, everyone is monitoring COVID at this point.
But how do they know to get this one? Did they do some testing to find out that this one is going to be better than the previous boosters? Or
probably. This is definitely not my area of expertise, but yeah, I would assume, they've done a lot of research on what's been going on, the different strains we've seen that have kind of come and gone or been stronger than others. And, the booster that they're putting out now is the one they think is going to provide the best protection for.
Do you know people. For how long? They say how long the protection is good for?
Oh, that I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know that anybody knows that, honestly, since it's a brand new booster. So,
well, what about this? We'll can you get the flu shot and the COVID shot at the same time?
Yes, you definitely can. And most places, like the places we talked about earlier, pharmacies, grocery stores, any place that has the flu vaccine is probably also going to have
COVID. So you only have to make one trip.
Yes.
Get one in one arm and one in the other one.
Get them both. Get it done.
Okay. I'm done for the season.
Yeah.
Okay. What else do you want people to know about COVID and influenza?
I think it's just important to know that even though COVID doesn't seem like as much of an emergency as it used to, and I know we've always kind of been back and forth on flu in that mm-hmm. regard. Some years it seems really bad and other years it doesn't seem as bad, is that they're always there. You're always going to have a slight chance of getting those things anytime, but particularly this time of year. So I think it's just important for people to know that there are options for them to protect themselves from those things, so they don't have to deal with them at all.
Okay, now based on the information you gave at the beginning where you were talking about people catch it from droplets in the air and touching surfaces, so then people should be wearing masks to protect themselves against the flu as well as COVID, right?
Yeah, if that's something you feel is something that you need to do, that is definitely helpful in protecting against flu also.
And don't be embarrassed if you only see one or other two people wearing a mask. Yeah. You're looking out for you and not for them.
That's right. If you don't want to get the flu or COVID, wear a mask if that's what you feel like doing.
And wash your hands.
Yes, absolutely wash your hands. Stay home if you're sick. Don't cough on people. Don't sneeze on people. Cough into your arm. Sneeze into your arm if you have to.
And when you touch these surfaces, doorknobs, handles on the carts.
Yeah.
Make sure you wash your hands because you might have picked up something.
Yes.
You couldn't see it, but you got it.
Yeah. And if you think you're sick at all, just stay home. Get a test. Don't do anything. Don't go back to work or school or whatever until you're 24 hours fever free is generally the recommendation for most diseases.
So. Now, do you know if it's recommended now, if somebody, a multi-person household, if one person gets COVID, are you still asking that person to isolate in the home and not infect the other people? Or
no, that's not an official recommendation anymore. That would be the choice of that family if they feel like that's something that they need to do based on who's in the household, what type of health conditions they have, that kind of thing. But it's not something we're asking of people anymore.
Now, what about precautions you should take? What if you have a child, a youngster that has underlying medical conditions? Would you recommend the parent have that child wear a mask to school?
Again, same sort of thing. That's the parent's choice.
Okay.
Their decision based on the health of their child. So it's definitely not going to hurt to have their kid wear a mask to school, but it's not necessarily a requirement or an official recommendation either.
Yeah. And then if you wear those masks, don't wear it over and over and over. Wash that thing.
Yeah. If it's a surgical mask, those are typically like a one and done. You wear that one day and then it's on to the next one.
Okay. Now, I want to talk about something new that I didn't hear about until I think in the last year, and that's RSV.
Yes.
Can you share with our listeners what RSV is and what we should do about it?
Yes. So RSV is respiratory, hopefully I can say this right, syncytial virus. It's another respiratory virus that causes similar symptoms to the cold. So runny nose, sneezing, coughing, sore throat, that kind of thing. It's always been around, but I do feel like we're hearing more about it in the last few years.
So what makes it special that we're talking about it now? I mean, if it's been around for a year and it's just like the cold, how do you know if you had the cold or RSV?
Yeah, exactly. You don't necessarily know that. And again, just like with flu and COVID, most people who get RSV are going to have mild illness that'll resolve on its own in a week or two. And it's not going to be something you need to do anything further about. But again, there are groups of people that are at higher risk for it. So young children are typically particularly higher risk, and then older adults as well with underlying health conditions. So I think the reason we're hearing more about it now and this season specifically is because there is a new vaccine for RSV. Right now, the vaccine is only available for people 60 and older. And that's something you'd have to talk to your medical provider about to see if that's a vaccine that would be right for you.
But if it's like the cold, how can you tell if you have RSV or just the cold? How would you know?
You can get tested for it, but if you just have mild illness, you aren't necessarily going to know that it's RSV versus the cold.
And then if you get treated for it, how long does the treatment last? How long is it good for? If you're going to get a shot for RSV, do you have to get it every year? Or is it just the one and done?
I don't know off the top of my head. That's not something I've heard a lot about, and I do think this new one is it's a brand new vaccine, so I don't know that we know that for sure how long it'll last. But it could end up being seasonal like flu or COVID as well.
So is that, that's one of the ones you recommend that people get in the fall as well?
Yep. And
does it run, does, is that circulate the entire year like the flu?
Same thing. Yeah, it's a peak season, fall and winter, but you could get it anytime.
Okay. So I want to thank you. We talked about flu, COVID, and RSV. All respiratory diseases, yep. All have vaccinations to curtail lung lingering effects. And everybody should get it before the peak season, which is now.
Yeah. so get it now.
Like I got my flu shot at the beginning of September. I always make a point to get it the first weekend in September. That way.
Yeah, that's great.
I remember. So, okay. So I want to thank you for being with us to update us on what's happening in Peoria County. And is there anything that you want to share with the listeners that I forgot to ask or I didn't think to ask?
I don't think so. I think that was pretty thorough. But just again, reiterating, these diseases are out there. You're, you know, potentially at risk. So do what you can to prevent them. And the vaccines are really the best way to do that.
And they can go to the website. And then if they have questions, is there a special number should they call, or they just call the regular number for the health department?
Yeah, you can just call the regular number for the health department, which is 309-679-6000.
Okay. And then ask for epidemiology?
Sure.
Or if you say flu, they'll just automatically transfer you probably, right?
It depends what you're calling about. Mm-hmm. But if you're trying to schedule an appointment, you can ask for the clinic. If you just want to ask general questions about flu or COVID, then epidemiology would be.
So if you're getting can you get flu shots at the health department?
You can.
You have to make appointments?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. And we're in our temporary location right now with clinic. Our clinic right now is at the Human Service Center downtown on Jefferson.
Okay.
It's called Trillium Place now since Carl took over. Trillium Place.
Oh.
Yeah. It still says Human Service Center on the top of the building though, so
okay.
I think it's still pretty recognizable.
Okay. So if they call the health department at 679-6000
and
make an appointment, and then you would not go to the old place because they've knocked all those buildings down.
Yep, the building is gone. Mm-hmm. So the clinic is now downtown.
And the Human Service Center is on West Street. I know it's on the corner.
Jefferson
and what's that other street?
Is it
Fayette or I don't know what it is.
It's right across the street from the courthouse, basically.
Okay. So near the courthouse.
That is.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for coming to share us and give us updates on these circulating respiratory diseases and to assure the listeners that there's treatment. Yes. So all is not lost and they can help alleviate some of the severe symptoms, but it's something that would just last 1 or 2 weeks and they should be over it, right? Like if it's the RSV or if it's the flu.
Typically, in general, with any of those, illness is going to be mild and will resolve on its own. But, you know, there are things you can do if you're experiencing more severe symptoms, and if you're at risk of more severe symptoms, then definitely consider getting a vaccine for all of those, because that's really the best way to help prevent it.
Okay. If you want to go to the website, it's www.pccohd.org.
Yep. O-R-G. Yep.
Or call 679-6000.
Yes.
Okay. So thank you for listening, audience, to How Do You Feel? The show that's dedicated to your health and wellness and is sponsored by the Peoria City County Health Department. I've been your host, Lorraine King, and I've been speaking with Rachel Ogden, who's a disease specialist in epidemiology and clinical services of the health department. I just want to remind our listeners that this show airs at 11 a.m. on Saturday. If you know someone who missed it, it repeats at 7:30 p.m. on Sunday. And if you don't make either broadcast, then you may go to the podcast page, which is WPNV.org, and then look for podcasts. And the podcast you want to look for is How Do You Feel? So thank you so much for listening, and I hope that you join us again next week.
Now is always the right time with the song.